368. Good to see everybody back tonight. Let's stand on this first song, Nothing But the Blood. Becky's making adjustments over here.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Beautiful. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time on this Sunday night. Who has a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in the house?
Paul Odom. Paul is in the hospital. Been there a couple days now, and Rosie would like for us to pray for him.
Remember Paul? Yes. Okay. Sandy? Let's remember her tonight. Anybody else tonight? He stays. Yeah. Okay. Brenda. Helen. All right. Good to see Jack tonight. We'll do that, Jack. Absolutely. All right. Let's take all these before the Lord. You got one, honey? Okay. Let's just pray for each other, right? We, everyone, need it. And Israel, that's absolutely. Absolutely. Tom, bless our offering.
Father, thank you again for another opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for each one here. I thank you for their faith. I thank you for their confidence that they would request prayer to you. Confidence not in us, but in you. Lord, as we heard this morning, faith in action. It's faith that moves things, because that's trusting in you. You said if you ask and believe, there's nothing you won't do for us. So, Father, I ask for each one of these requests. Would you touch them as only you can? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. What are we going to do with him? Yeah. Now this is a good old song here. You can remain seated. 345. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. Where could I go? And then Jesse's going to share a song with us.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's soul, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the neighbors are kind, I love them everyone, and we get along in sweet accord. But when our soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Could I go seeking a refuge for my soul and needing a friend to save me in the end? And where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? And we all will. So where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, and needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Aren't we glad we can go there? Amen. Miss Jesse, you come on, honey.
fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You're my Savior. You can move the mountains. God, You are mighty to save. You are mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, You conquered the grave. You were mighty to save.
Good song, Jess. Thank you. I just check and make sure I know what I'm supposed to pick up. Sandwich baggies, napkins, and small to-go plates. Just thought I'd let you all know what I got to get this next week, among other things. Okay, just put that right there. It's good to see everybody. Don't forget now the announcements that I made this morning of things that's going on this next week. And make plans to make the ladies and men's meeting on Tuesday. I think you'll be glad that you did. And the frescoes. We're going Thursday, the frescoes, not frescas. I was informed that that's a drink. And I said, I don't like it anyway. But anyway, don't forget those things. Next Sunday, and I didn't say a thing this morning. I don't know if we had it in the bulletin or not. I don't remember seeing it. Is Amy doing the service next Sunday in there? Okay. Huh? Okay, just so y'all know, and you can share the word, if you will, please. We don't get that very often. Amy's going to do the whole service next Sunday morning before we go out to Winged Deer Park Sunday afternoon. I hate it when people talk to me while I'm doing something else. But anyway, we're going to have a good time at the park. Please come and bring your favorite food, and there'll be other people there with your favorite foods, and we'll just have a good time. And I said, if you've got your fishing license and you want to throw a line in out there, come a little early and throw a line in down there. There's a walkway right down below where we're going to be that goes around by the lake, and it's a fisherman's wharf or something like that. So let's get involved in some things that we've got going. Don't forget the scary thing coming up trunk or treat, right? Yeah, and that is the 28th. Thanks, Pam. The 28th is when we'll be doing that, and we're going to scare some people, but we're going to also use it as a time to be a witness for the Lord. That's our reason for doing it. Otherwise, you just take the kids out and turn them loose in the neighborhood and with their pillowcase and let them get it filled up, right? Yeah. Okay, now if you're with me, we'll be in Psalm 113. If you have your Bibles handy, you can turn there to Psalm 113, and we're going to see if we can't just cover that whole psalm. I love the Psalms, love them a lot. And this particular one, after that message this morning, I think we can relate to this a little bit better, in that this is a praise psalm. It's a hallelujah praise psalm. And so it starts out with the word praise. Couldn't be any better than that, could it? You want to read it? Let's read it together. Here we go. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Wow. If we just read that, agreed with it, and go out to practice it, we wouldn't have to read the next three verses, would we? But we're going to read the next three verses. And he says, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. This is another three here. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. That's good stuff. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this. Lord, we are grateful tonight for everything that you've done for us this day. We thank you for everything you're going to do for the rest of this evening. We pray, God, that we take something from this psalm that was a song of praise and a song of hallelujahs, and Lord, that we take it out to do the same thing with it, the truth of it. We're going to praise you for everything, for all those requests of prayer that was given. You know each one of them, Lord, and you know where they are. You know what their need is. And we're going to give you glory and praise for doing that. And we just pray for, if it's your will, to touch each and every one of these requests for prayer. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are five of these psalms in a row. It's 113, 114, 115, 116, 117. And they are all clumped together. They all are for the same purpose, because they are for praises being given to God. These were known to Israel as the Hallelujah Chorus. That's what their Hallelujah Chorus was. They teach us that God would have his people be always praising. Not hard to do. You might think it is, but it's not. It's really not. You say, well, I've got some hard times. I've had some bad times in my life. God doesn't separate that from praising him. In fact, he says, that's where I'd like for you to praise me. If you're really going to show that your faith is really real in me and you really believe me, praise him when the things are going bad. It's easy to praise him when things are going good, isn't it? I mean, we jump on that really easily, because that's what it is, easy. to praise Him when things are going great. But there are times in our life when things aren't going so well. So even in the sad times of your life and the bad times, let's praise Him. This was a psalm sung at the Passover meal. And the Passover meal, as you know, just before the Lord was crucified, it was in the upper room. And it would have been sung there. If you want to put a little visual to that, you can do that as to everything He says in this psalm. And just look at it being done right before He went to Calvary to lay down on that old cross and let them nail Him to it. If you want to put a little visual, do that and see how important it is that we praise God in the supposedly bad times or sad times. You see, Calvary was not a bad time. It was not a sad time. It was not a disaster. It was what He was doing for us. It was a success story is what it was. And we need to look up and praise Him for everything He did there. And when we go through the hard times in our life, we need to do exactly the same thing. We need to look up and praise Him. People are going to wonder why, when you go through a hard time, you can still be praising the Lord. They'll wonder about it. This world will. Your brothers and sisters who know the Lord won't. They know where you're coming from. In fact, when you talk to them, they won't have to try to raise you up to that level to where you'll feel better about the situation. That's what most people try to do. You know, I think we all do. If a person's going through the time of losing someone, we try to cheer them up. And I've heard that some people get upset with that, that you shouldn't be trying to cheer me up. I'm being sad and hurting, and I deserve it. Well, you deserve, you know, what you've got, and if that's where you want to stay, that's okay. But eventually, you got to come out of it. It's not bad for us to try to cheer somebody up, because there is a place here where the Lord is saying, even in the hard times, you need to be praising me. And I was at the revival this past week. There was a man there who had lost his son. And he was really hurting. It was painful for him. And I saw him on maybe the third night of the revival, and he had come. He didn't come the first couple nights. And I went back to talk to him. And he went up to the altar after Nick had preached. He went up to the altar, and I saw men gather around him there to be with him and to pray with him. And that's what you brothers and sisters will do. Never, never, ever lay out of church because something bad happened to you. Never. It's not called for. Be around the people who love you. Come in and let them pray with you. Come in and let them put an arm around you and hug you and let you know that you are a brother or sister and that they love you. So don't ever do that. It's not a good thing to do. So Calvary was awaiting our Lord. And he was praising. He's a good example for this. Yeah, and they were also. But let's look at verse 1, if you will. I'll just read these first three verses together, because you'll notice that they link together by the thought that is there. So let's read them together again. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. He actually said the same thing. He added a word in there, though, that tells us what we are. We are servants. And he said, I want my servants to praise me. And no matter where you are or what you're doing, you need to praise me. Praise the name of the Lord. Then he put in an extra thing there. He let us know who and what we're supposed to praise. We're supposed to praise Him by name, because His name is wonderful, isn't it? It is. So he said, blessed be the name of the Lord in verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. In other words, can't stop. From the rising of the sun unto the setting, going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So in actuality here, he is more or less demanding that the servant of God be a person who praises him. He's not putting it up for a vote. He's saying, I'm demanding praise. You might think that's not a good attitude to have for someone, but you see, God is sovereign. He knows who he is. He knows what he is to us. And he's saying, yes, you do need to praise me. He's actually demanding it here. He has a right to claim this. He has a right to claim praise for him. Praise ye the Lord. It's a Hebrew word for hallelujah. Hallelujah. So next time you say hallelujah, you can just imagine yourself saying, praise the Lord, or praise ye the Lord. Then he says that he deserves everything he gets. He deserves you smiling when you praise him. He deserves you smiling when it doesn't appear that you're praising him. When we go out for the day, and it doesn't matter where you're going, if you're going somewhere that you're really happy you're going to, or you're going to someplace that makes you sad. I don't mind going to places like nursing homes and things like that. I have to fight the thing of being sorry for those folks who are in there, and I don't apologize for that. That's just my heart when I see someone hollering for you to come in. Brenda knows what I'm talking about. Somebody's hollering for you to come in. They just want somebody to come in and speak to them. They go through day after day after day, and some of those folks go day after day after day with nobody coming to see them. No family, no friends, no. I think sometimes they have a hard time getting a nurse in there. I'll never forget, I was right over from my house at the one there inside that, where they have businesses. I don't even know the name of it. But I was in there visiting someone, and I went down by this room, and this woman hollered at me and said, I need you to help me. And so I went, and I said, honey, what can I do to help you? And she said, well, I need this or I can't even remember what it was, but I need this or need that. She said, I'll go get someone for you. She said, it won't do any good. They won't come. I thought that was kind of sad, you know. But then after I went and got someone, evidently she was a person who was, after one of them all the time. And so they, you know, cry wolf, but bless her little heart, I think she had a right to cry wolf myself. She needed some help. And so when I went up to get somebody and they said, we'll get somebody right back there, I watched to make sure that somebody went back there to her, because I did not want her to think that I was going to go get someone and I didn't get them. She didn't need one more person that wasn't going to do what they said they would do. So I just praise God that sometimes he allows me to go into nursing homes, even though it's a little tough on us to do that. We still need to do it, and we need to do it with a smile on our face. We don't need to go in with a frown. There's a lot of frowns around places like that. We don't need that. We need to go in as God's servants with a smile on our face, because we believe that God can take care of their needs, and he will through people who are willing to do something. We're privileged, folks. We're privileged to be called the servants of God. That's a job, if you want to call it a job, that's a job that we should desire, to please him through our service of his work down here. So if you're going to do that, though, make sure you got that smile on your face. If you find yourself not smiling, smack yourself or something. Wake up and get that smile on there, right? Do a karate chop on them. Get that smile up there. They deserve it, and you need to do it. And God's going to smile on that, not just the fact that you smile, but the fact that you honored him for whom he made you, or who he made you to be, so that you can honestly give a big old smile when you're serving him. So, praise the Lord, and also praise the name of the Lord. I'm kind of like Marty in this. I love to say the name Jesus. If you go to Marty's house, you're going to find Jesus on the front door. You'll find Jesus as you go in the door. You'll find Jesus in the kitchen, Jesus in the living room, Jesus in all the rooms of the house will be Jesus, because she likes to say the name Jesus, and I do too. It's such a sweet name. Well, we all have songs that we sing about Jesus, and when we sing it, the one that we all do as a congregation, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain, Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. And we love that song, don't we? We love it when we hear it, or we love it when we sing it. Well, let's make it part of our life. Let's when we go out during the day to go and do something, let's make the name of Jesus special to us so that we can go out and make it special to somebody else. He says, from this time forth and forevermore, I want you to praise the name of the Lord. That from the Old Testament, Jehovah was the name. Jehovah God. In the New Testament, we call him our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. There is a name for him. There's a lot of names for God. There are other names for Jesus. We know the Old Testament names for Jesus. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And I know I've said that at least 50 times to most of y'all, or 1,000 if it may appear to be. But I want you to know that. I want you to know that when you're in the Old Testament, you're going to see some things that you're going to find in the New Testament, and it's going to come together, and it's going to cause you to praise his name, that the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, can come in and change your life, and it can also change another. And we are servants to make sure they get a chance to hear this precious Word. It'll bring a smile to your face, I promise you. And then in verse 3, there is a, I've never gotten any fame. In fact, that song, well, that has to do with what you have. I forget that song. I never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. You know that song? You don't? Nobody knows that, do you? I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. So I'll forget that one. But it's a good song anyway. But he's talking about, in fact, he has another song that talks about he never got any fame here, but he's not for sale. Nobody's going to give him any fame, by putting him where he doesn't need to be. So the title of the song is Not For Sale. Remember that one? Y'all say yes. Okay, makes me feel good when you do that. So, if we're praising the Lord here in Johnson City, there is another time zone about 130 miles down the road. Am I right? About 130? There's another time zone. Now, in that time zone, if we're worshiping him and praising his name at 3 o'clock, they're worshiping, praising his name at 2 o'clock. Another hour on out, they're doing it at 1 o'clock. And on out toward California, they're doing it at 12. I sent Les a text, and I think he got it at 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm not sure. But I sent it to him. Sometimes I don't realize the time distance. But when you go on, it gets into hours, even days later. So there is a... Are you getting what I'm saying? So if we're praising God and there are other Christians out there praising God in other time zones, we're praising him all the time. We're lifting up the name. And we're not the only country that has Christians in it, folks. There are Christians in every country. Now, there are still a lot of people to reach, a lot of people who need the Lord, but there are good Christian people in every country in this whole world, and therefore we have a continuous praise. Do you imagine how that comes up to the ears of God for us to be praising him? And we have an obligation to do it here so that if they're doing it down the road an hour or so, everybody's in tune, you see, and it's a constant praising of his name. And that pleases the ear of God for us to do that. So let's send it through the time zones, okay? Do our part to make sure it does that. Now look at verse 4, if you will. Verse 4 through 6 is a little bit different. The Lord not only demands that we praise him, he actually wants you to. He has a desire for you to praise him. Let's stop with that word just a minute. Do you desire to come to the house of God on a Sunday morning? Now, I didn't say do you want to or do you think you ought to. I said do you desire to. There's a little bit of difference in I think I want to or I think I need to, or but the word desire means that you really, really want to be there. And there's a reason why you want to be there. And the reason should be that you're coming where you can lift up a holy hand toward heaven and praise the one who gave you the energy and the breath to get out of that bed and get up and get ready to go to church on time. Had to throw that in. Is that okay if I say on time? Okay. That doesn't have anything to do with this, but I'm just saying if we desire it enough, we'll make extra effort to be on time, won't we? Yeah. Well, how many of y'all went to Sunday school? I'm seeing a few of you who probably did. Went to Sunday school back years and years ago when you were little, and the Sunday school teacher would give you a little card, and that you would check that card as to whether you're there or not. And you say, I'm here. And then it says on time, and you can check that. And it says offering. Did you bring a nickel or a dime? You know, it's about what we had. But you check that you brought an offering. Bible. Did you bring your Bible? And all of these little things you would check off. And I'm wondering today, what happened to that? I know that card is outdated, you know, but what God wants from us is not outdated. He wants us to be here. He wants us to be on time. He wants us to be, because that's just part of doing the right thing the right way. And he wants us to bring our Bibles. I know we've got a lot of different reasons why we don't have to nowadays, but if you've got a Bible, I encourage you to. I don't think you have to. I've got one of these right here, and it's on this thing. You know, it's there. I know it's there. And people can bring a tablet. There's a lot of different ways. I think Doris has one that talks to her. And she tells me when I go there, and she says, you know that little thing? It talks to me about the Bible. It's the Bible on audio. And she can hit that little thing and lay it down and just let them read the Bible to her. It doesn't matter how you do that. I just think that it's wonderful to have the book. And there's nothing, no power in the book itself. The binding, you know, and the paper and stuff like that. I know that. The power is in the Word. But it's just such a good feeling to have that physical feel of that Bible in your hands. I'll shut up about that because that has nothing to do with where I am right now. Okay, let's take a look at this, this desire that he has of us to praise him. And then he gives us some reasons. In verse 4, he gives us the reason we ought to praise him because of his glory. Now, we say we give him glory for the things that he does. He has glory. And it's okay for us to say that. I'm not saying don't say I want to give him glory and praise and honor, because we are to do that. But he does have his own glory. The Lord is high above all nations. Watch verse 4, okay? Because it's important that you get this. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Now you tell me, who can be above him? When you read that, there is no one that can be above him. He is already above the nations, high above the nations. He is already, his glory is already above the heavens. There's nobody greater than him. Shouldn't he deserve the glory? He should. He's the greatest thing in our life. He is. And that's why he can say, I want you to give me glory. I have glory. The Lord is above all the heavens. He's above all the heavens. Man, in our pride, wanting to please ourselves sometimes, we have a way of putting ourselves in a little higher notch than we should be. But in our pride and our ignorance, it can never take away the power of the glory of God in our life. So why don't we just ditch who we are? Get an attitude that I'm not deserving of anything. If God wants you deserving, he'll give it to you. You don't have to put yourself somewhere. God will do that. He'll elevate you. We don't have to elevate ourselves. He'll elevate us. Amen? On the same note, you don't have to depress yourself. You don't have to put yourself down. He didn't say to do that. He just said, don't elevate yourself. I'll elevate you. He loves you. And he says, I'm giving you a reason why you should praise my name, and that is because I have glory, and that glory is there for you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're going away from here, folks. We're going to a land. I'll tell you this little funny story here in a minute. A land, I think it's in a song somewhere, in a land where we'll never grow old. Y'all know that song? Well, I was messing around with my phone today, and I was trying to find the lyrics to Unclouded Day. And so I was already near the text part of it, so somebody got a text, and I think it was in that group text that went out. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you're probably wondering why I text Unclouded Day. Well, that's because I was looking for it, and I wasn't where I was supposed to be. But I finally got there after I made your all's day. And I wanted to, because I know you know the song, but I want you to be refreshed about the lyrics of it, because this is where we're going one day, and it's where the glory of God shines and where we're going to be forever. Shouldn't we practice giving him praise and glory down here on this earth, since we're going where it's going to be? Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Woo! Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of a land far away. Oh, they tell me of where the tree of life in eternal blooms sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a king in his beauty there, and they tell me that mine eyes shall behold where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. No, that's not the right line. It's in that city that's made of gold. See, that's why I don't like to use these things. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there. And his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again. On that lovely land of unclouded day. Now sing the chorus with me. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. I like that old song, don't you? Sorry I messed it up a little bit, but that's okay. We was just trying to get the words to it, right? So he desires our glory because of our praise, because of his glory. And he also is due it and desires it because he's a good God. Now, over there where we were having revival, where Nick was preaching the revival, every service, the preacher gets up and says, God's good. And the crowd says, all the time. And then he says, all the time. And they say, God is good. And I'm sure you've heard that before, but they did that, I think, every night we were there. So, God is good. And he is great. He is all the time. Man is very small in his big mindset of who he is, but he's very small. We don't realize just how small we are, but when we get a glimpse of God, we'll see how small we are. Amen? And he deserves and desires it, folks, because of the grace that he gave us. His favor that he gave you and me. I did not deserve to be saved and ready to go to heaven today. I did not deserve that. You say, but you were saved when you were a young boy, weren't you? I said, yeah, I was. Doesn't make any difference. I still didn't deserve it. I didn't. He gave me his grace, and he gave you his grace. And we're not due it. It's unmerited. Unmerited favor of God on our lives. So that tells me he was willing to, from heaven, if you can get that in your mind, in heaven, he was willing to stoop down to where we are on this old God-forsaken world that we live in, give up his seat in heaven just for long enough to come down here and do what he's going to do. Because you see up there, he looks down and sees us. He's got a good view, by the way. I love that view where they go out into outer space and they show Earth back. And I love that. It lets me see how small I am. I can't see me on there. I can't see you all either. But God looks down, and you know what? He sees every one of us. He sees every one of us. And he has a longer view than those folks out there in space. I'd like to know what his seat looks like in heaven, wouldn't you? Well, one of these days, I believe I'm going to know. I'm going to see it. And I want to praise him. I just want to say, hallelujah, God. You're just so good to give us what we have. And even though we didn't deserve it, you did it anyway. And just give him what he's owed. The Lord does deserve it. He does. Look at verse 7. He raiseth up the poor. Did he say at one time, the poor you shall have with you always? Do you know that the scriptures lean? No, I didn't say it was only for the poor. I said the scriptures lean toward the poor. They do. And the work of God leans toward the poor. Doesn't mean that we're not to reach out to the rich and the famous. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means that he leans toward the poor. He says more about poor folks than he does anybody else. And here he says, he raiseth up the poor. Notice what he does for the poor. Sometimes we who have a little bit more than the folks who are poorer than us, and I use uh, the the homeless thing, and I don't like to use the homeless word, to be honest with you. I know it's a real word, and I know there are people who are homeless. And I don't want to get into that discussion because we all got different feelings about that. I'm just saying the poor, the people who don't have a home paid for, who don't have a home even to rent, don't have the rent to rent a home. There are people out there who don't have that. And they may be worried every month as to whether they're going to be able to pay that rent or pay that house payment to make sure they stay where they are. Well, here he says in verse 7, he raises up the poor out of the dust. Here's how he cares about the poor. We can say we care about the poor, but we don't care about the poor like he does. We don't. We can't. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. He knows everything you need. My Jesus knows just what I need. He knows what you need, and he wants to fulfill your needs. I don't know everybody's need, and a lot of times I try not to dig into it. I used to be crazy about asking questions to people, and I got myself in a lot of trouble asking questions about their financial situation or their where they live or what their house is or whatever. Before I got away from there, I was trying to find a way to give them money because I found out how bad it was. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm just saying that God looks down. He knows all of our needs. He knows, and he cares, and he's lifting folks out of the dunghill, and he's raising up the poor. I don't know if you all have been there or not, but I've been there when I needed to know that God was raising me up. I couldn't afford one more battery for my car. I couldn't afford a set of tires. And I've told people I rent them till they got slick and rent them a lot longer because they don't wear out as fast when they're slick. I know that sounds a little crazy, but you know when there's no friction on the tire, you know the tread causes friction. When there's no friction on the tire, that rubber will last longer. But when you start seeing the steel cables in the tire, you need to do something about it. That he may set him... Listen to this, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. God will place people in a higher place at some point down the road. It may not be what we consider a high point, but it's how God has raised a person up. I was so glad that when I had my first home, we paid $3,200 for it. And that was a big lot too, a big lot. Used to raise a big garden on that. And then we got to needing a little bit more space with the kids and everything. So I sold it and got a double wide out near Buffalo Mountain and thought I was in hog heaven. But what I didn't know was when I got it, that wind that blows up through Camp Creek and up that ridge line there, it was coming right through there, and every time it come up through there, it hit the sides of that double wide, and it would shake, and Kay got scared. She didn't want to live there any longer, and I listened to it as much as I could, and then I started looking, and I couldn't find anything that I could afford that had enough bedrooms for all my family, and it took forever. And then all of a sudden, one day, God just dropped one in my lap. Do I need to praise him? Yeah, I couldn't find anything. I was going to have to stay there with my wife, who was scared to death to be there because she thought the wind was going to take it away. It did take away a couple of our buildings one night while we was in prayer meeting, and she thought it was going to take that away too, but it didn't. And then I went to one day to buy an organ for the church I was at. And while I was there buying the organ, I saw it and I said, yeah, I'll take the organ. I was going out the door and she said, by the way, if you know anybody that's looking for a house, this house is for sale too. Huh? Is God good or what? It's a four-bedroom house. Amen. Right in North Johnson City. Amen. $25,000. You can't even buy a good car for that anymore. But of course, that was 60 years ago. You know, it's a long time ago. But the thing was, I had to act like I wasn't excited when she said what they were wanting and that it was for sale. I just praised God. I got my car and I could hardly see to drive. I said, I'll take the house too. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. We serve a good God, folks. And in verse 9, here it just goes on about what he's doing for the... He maketh the barren woman. I like this. This is good. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. Now, see, a barren woman don't have much of a reason to keep house and do things because, you know, a woman's life is a whole lot different than a man. We don't want to keep house. I've learned a lot, but we're not the housekeepers, you know, inside. We're yard keepers and that sort of thing. I think that's the way it goes. Yeah, don't let me say too much, okay, and get some of y'all upset about you. Some of the women want to mow the yard and put the man to washing dishes. It doesn't matter to me which way. If as long as I'm helping somewhere around the house, that's what I want. But here he says, he maketh the barren woman to keep house. Now watch this, the barren woman to keep house. And to be a joyful mother of children. The thing she couldn't have, he says, I'm going to give it to you. You're going to have children, and you're going to keep house, and you're going to be happy. And I know that the feminist movement came up and said, men can't tell a woman they can only be happy in the house with a house full of children and the housework to do. Well, we can't. We can't do that. But he's given the woman what she wanted and what she really needed for her life. He loved her. Then the last four words that he says in this psalm is, praise ye the Lord. The fact that he loved everybody that much and he loved those barren women, that he would put them in a position where they could keep house. And I think for most women like to take care of their house inside. I'm going to shut up. Pam's said, cut it off right there. Okay, I'll do it. But y'all get the gist, right? And he does deserve our praise, no matter if we find a little something funny about some of these things and we laugh. But let's be serious about giving him the praise. He does deserve it. He desires it. He wants it from us, and he has a right to demand it. He does. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness toward us. We're thankful for the truth of the word, and we pray tonight, oh God, that you'll take this psalm and help us to apply it to our lives tomorrow when we go out. And that first person that we see, we'll give them a smile of praise because we serve you. We love you, Lord. And we want to please you by living for you. And we're going to praise you for everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.